Moncrief on News Talk.
Sponsored by 123.ie. Don't make insurance a hot topic. Just go to 123.ie, where simple is smarter.
1890 453 106 is our low-call number. Jonathan De Barca Butler joins us once again to bring us some stories from other parts of the world. Good afternoon, Jonathan.
Sean, how are you getting on?
Right, Tajikistan we're going to go to first, where a pop star has gone into trouble.
She has indeed. This is a very world-famous Firuza Kafizova, who was fined 5,000 so-money, which is about 500 euros thereabouts. And she was fined by a court in Dushanbe. And basically, this is because she posted videos of her birthday party with her guests having a good time on Instagram. And there is a law against having birthday parties outside the home in Tajikistan. Now, this law was brought in around about 2007. It was brought in under Emom Ali Rahmon, who's been there since 1994. He's one of those kind of democratically elected leaders. And under Article 8 of this regulation, you have to keep your birthday celebrations inside the family home, and you can't be seen outside. And obviously, by posting pictures of herself all over Instagram, she was seen outside. The authorities decided that what she was doing wasn't good, and they decided to make an example of her. And because, of course, she was famous, they were going to throw the book at her, and that's exactly what they did.
Right. Okay. And is this a kind of a Muslim thing that you're not allowed to have parties outside the home, or
no,
what is it?
I wouldn't say it is. Actually, I think the reason it was brought in originally in 2007, they actually broadened it out 2 years ago as well to include funerals and christenings, or whatever the equivalent is. And the reason was people were getting into debt. I was talking to somebody outside, and they basically sort of compared it to, you know, the country wedding where everybody is invited from the parish, and then the person next door decides to do the same thing, and they're in competition with each other. So they basically decide to have these lavish celebrations, and then people get into debt, and it becomes a problem. So Rahmon, in his wisdom as president for life of the country, decided that the best way to deal with this was to keep it in the family and buy a cake and a few candles, and you can celebrate away.
Right, okay. Though, but presumably some people there feel this is severe intrusion into their rights.
Absolutely, there was many people who took to social media off the back of this to say that it was a fairly ridiculous intrusion. But they've done it to about 650 people last year, apparently. So it's not as if they're just keeping it for pop stars. It's everybody's getting into trouble because of it.
Right, Thailand we're going to go to next, where, a princess wants to become a politician, but mightn't necessarily be able to.
Yeah, well, it looks like she won't be able to. This was major news in Thailand all of last week. So on Friday, an opposition party, there's elections happening there on the 24th of March of this year, obviously. And a relatively small opposition party there called the Thai Raksa Chart Party decided that it wanted to put forward as its prime ministerial candidate a princess. Okay, so this is Princess Ubol Ratana. I'm going to say that once. She's the 67-year-old older sister of the current king. Now, as I said, it caused a bit of a storm in Thailand, not least because it had never been done before, but also because of the lese majeste rules. So this is the rules against saying anything about the royal family. How can you campaign against that? How would you be able to campaign against it? Because everything you say against the royal family is against the law, effectively. So there's, at the moment, as you probably know, since 2014, there's been a military junta in place, and they were a shoe-in for the elections, basically, until last Friday. And it's more than likely that their candidate, the current Prime Minister Chanocha, went to the king and basically said, look, you don't want your sister coming into the political fray here. So if I were you, issue an edict saying to your sister that she needs to step down. And that's exactly what the king did. So the party that put her forward as a candidate has accepted that. I was reading on my way in, actually, that it now looks like that they might get in trouble and actually might be dissolved as a result of their trying to draw somebody from the royal family into the election. So they could be in big trouble, and that might actually mess up an alliance that the opposition are trying to put together to bring down this military junta So they might have messed it up for everybody in some sense. But yeah, she seems to have accepted the fact that she won't be able to run, and it's a close one. It was a close one for the military junta, who now look as if they will come back to power.
Yeah, but this particular political party, was this a stunt to some degree on their part that perhaps backfired on them?
I think it has. It was certainly backfired on them if they're going to be not allowed to contest the next elections. And I mean, even if they had the chance of disbanding and putting candidates into other parties in that alliance, they wouldn't be able to, because they hadn't been members of a party for 90 days. Mm. So they've kind of shot themselves in the foot. Now, they said they're going to go ahead anyway, see what the Electoral Commission and the Constitutional Court come up with. But it's quite possible that they are small, but they would have made up an integral part of that opposition bloc, if you like.
Yeah.
So,
but even that election, whatever the result of that election, might be somewhat meaningless anyway. Are really the people in power.
I would say don't be surprised if the military come back with good numbers. I'll put it to you that way. So March 24th is when that's taking place.
Now, Hungary we're going to next. And Viktor Orban wants to boost the baby production rate.
It's an extraordinary sort of statement. I think he issued this policy edict or whatever. He came up with this policy during his sort of State of the Union address. And he's basically put forward a 7-point plan to try and encourage women, Hungarian women, and how they're defined, I don't know, but anyway, Hungarian women to have more babies, right? So it's worth quoting him, right? So he said, there are fewer and fewer children born in Europe. True. For the West, the answer to that challenge is immigration. For every missing child, there should be one coming in, and then the numbers will be fine. But we do not need numbers. We need Hungarian children. That's what he said, right? Yeah. So that's what he wants. He wants a very specific type of children. So the birth rate in Hungary was, in 2016, 1.45 per woman. It should be 2.1, 2.2 for replacement,
yes,
right? So he is trying to encourage people by offering them loans. Now, the numbers are extraordinary, right? So he's looking to give a loan of about 31,000 euros to a woman who gets married before the age of 40. If they have two children, a third of that will be waived. So 10 grand for having two children. And if you have a third, the whole lot. You'll get.
Okay, so that's 10 grand a baby,
yeah,
basically.
Yeah. Okay, so if they have four or more and then they go back to work, they won't have to pay income tax after that. Now, I don't know if you're able to spread the tax credits to your husband or whatever it might be. But
yeah, it just seems to be aimed specifically at women.
And
you get a free car, or they'll help you buy a car.
They'll give you state support for the purchase of any 7-seat vehicle. So if you really go for it, then they'll probably throw in a house as well.
Yeah. Now, I suppose this is in the greater context of that given... given the Europe-wide dissemination of migrants to various countries, and Hungary is one of those countries that has refused point blank to take the quota allotted to them. So there's very few immigrants there. So why is he doing this? He can't really claim that, you know, the Hungarian population is being polluted by outsiders.
But as we said before about it, doesn't mean that he doesn't get to perpetuate the myth, and that it speaks to the people who vote for him. And I mean, he's up the last... There was elections last year. I think he's up 4 or 5% on the figures that he had before. So he's still popular there. And what he puts out is the right music, if you like, and people are buying it, for want of a better way of putting it.
Yeah.
Simple as that.
But it strikes me as odd that... In terms of his approach, like he's set up various bogeymen, George Soros, etc. But the European Union is one of the major bogeymen. Why don't they just leave or try to leave? I don't know. Just strikes me as odd.
I don't know.
You don't have the answer to that. But it's odd, given that they keep vilifying the European Union. And then, well, just bloody leave the European Union. Right. I don't know if these two items are connected, but this is an item about the house Hitler was born in Austria.
Yeah. So it's been bought by the Austrian authorities, by the Austrian government. It's an extraordinary story. So I suppose it started 8 years ago when the woman who owned it, Gerlinde Pomer. She was leasing it out to the Minister of the Interior, and it was used as a facility for people with disabilities. Now, they came to her and they basically said, look, we need to update it, put in a few wheelchair ramps and various different things like that. She said, no, don't want you to do that. And in fact, I'm not letting you have the lease anymore. They came back and they offered to buy it a few times and eventually and do various other things, and she just refused point blank every option that she was given. So back in 2016, they said, right, we're going to buy it off you, compulsory purchase order, and you're going to have to accept it. She went to court to say this was against her constitutional rights, and the court found against her, but she appealed the sum of money that the Austrian government had given her. So she said, OK, I've lost, but you only gave me €300,000 for it. I want more. And a district court has found in her favour and said that the government should give her €1.5 million, which is the valuation that was put on it at the time that it was born. And in its ruling, the court basically said, this is a district court, said that it should be taken into account the particular feature that the main building was the birthplace of Adolf Hitler.
And that in itself made it more valuable.
That is what this court is saying.
That's a bizarre kind of...
Well, this is the problem, right? So the authorities now have a choice, right? So they can pay her the money, which probably would be the intelligent thing to do, and hope that at least she goes away, and then the problem might go away. But the problem is that because of the history, it's a heritage site, also the fact that it's from the 17th century and it's a listed building, there'll be architects going, oh, well, you can't knock it down because it's got a beautiful cornice or a wonderful facade. And then there'll be others who are saying, well, look, let's, you know, raise it to the ground, basically.
Plus also it's, and we've, you know, there's always that danger. It turns into a shrine.
It's a shrine. It already is. So he was born there in 1889, and every year on his birthday, there's a rally there. So it is a shrine, but you're not going to get rid of that by just knocking the building down. So I don't know what you do with it.
Right. That's a bizarre one, isn't it? Right. Croatia we're going to go to now, and the water polo team have been attacked. Presumably this isn't about water polo, though.
No, it isn't. It's about nationalism, and a team that is based in Serbia. Okay, so it's Red Star Belgrade, which is a team, a very well known football club as well, but this is the water polo team, or three of their members, who were in Split in Croatia to play a regional match against Mornar Split, well known water polo team there. And they were sitting down in a cafe and having a bit of downtime, and three of them, as I said, were attacked. Now, we think that there was five men in total involved. Three have since been arrested. And it was such a bad attack that the goalkeeper of the water polo team actually had his nose broken and feared so much for his life that he ran into the sea to escape his attackers. Now, both sides have condemned the attack, thankfully, but, you know, it's kind of... it's not a good diplomatic situation for either country to find themselves in. The mayor of Split came out and basically said, you know, this is intolerable. The police have acted very quickly. There's going to be an investigation into it, and we'll see what comes of it. But it's just indicative of the tension, I suppose, between the two countries.
Yeah. Right, Comoros we're going to go to now. Now, that's a small island off the coast of Africa.
Yeah, it's a few islands off the coast of Africa, in between, where is it, Madagascar and Mozambique.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's only about 1 million people, and it's a strange sort of a place. It's been independent since 1975, and they've had 20 coups since then, right? So it's to say it's politically unstable is an understatement. So the current president there is a man by the name of Azali Assoumani, and he's been there since 2016. He changed the constitution last year. I have a guess to try and extend his term. Okay. So there's elections coming up. 19 candidates put themselves forward to the electoral commission, and 13 of them have been accepted. Now, you might say, oh, well, 13 candidates, that's great, that's loads. But six people who've been left out were all supported by the strongest political parties in the country. And to say that they were left out on sort of on mythical grounds, shall we say, again, for want of a better word, it would be, again, an understatement. So it looks like, again, we're in a situation where come March 24th, the same day as the election we mentioned previously, there will not be a shock result here, and that this guy, Azali Assoumani, will be in line to stay in place for at least another 5 years, if not 10.
And what the opposition to him is not very strong then at this point.
Well,
one would have thought.
At this point, I mean, given that a former vice president who would have been seen as the strongest candidate was accused of concealing ownership of a company worth billions, and to quote him, of which I know nothing about. And that there was another candidate who was left out on a technicality. The rest are all independents, so they don't have party support. Now, you know, you're only talking about a small country with 1 million people, but it's quite poor, and they could do with all the support they could get. So it seems unlikely that anybody will challenge him.
Right, Canada we're going to go to finally, and this is the story about this man who attacked a mosque.
Yeah, do you remember it happened in 2017 in Quebec City? He went into a mosque with a few guns and he shot dead six members of that community there. And he's been given a sentence, a life sentence, which could end in 35 years. So he could get out on parole after 35 years.
Okay, he's 29 now.
So he'd be 64, 65 by that time. Now, not everybody's happy because there was a law that was brought in 2011, which would have allowed judges to hand down consecutive sentences in the case of multiple murders. So like they do in the States for multiple murders, he could have got a sentence of over 150 years. But the judge decided in this case that there has to be some window of opportunity for reform. Okay, or for redemption. So he decided 35 years was enough, and that's what's been handed down. So that's where he's going to be for the next 35 years.
Right, and but he pleaded guilty though.
Oh, he did.
Yeah. Right. What should we look out for during the week, Jonathan?
Yeah, a few things coming up. I think there's going to be one interesting meeting is happening tomorrow, where Trump is going to meet the new Colombian president. Who both of these guys are supporters of Guaido, this Venezuelan president or whatever you want to call him, self-proclaimed.
Yes.
Well, self-proclaimed, he is self-proclaimed president at the moment. And so it'll be interesting to see how that pans out. Okay, so they're meeting on Wednesday. Saturday, there will be elections in Nigeria, presidential elections. So we've been looking at that over the build-up to that over the last few months. So they will be very interesting as well. And there might be a bit of trouble after them as well, I should say. And also tomorrow is World Radio Day, which I'm sure you knew.
Whatever that means. Jonathan, thanks for coming into us. Jonathan DeBurka-Butler there. Back in a couple of minutes.
Moncrief on News Talk.
Sponsored by 123.ie. Don't make insurance a hot topic. Just go to 123.ie, where simple is smarter.